Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into Buddha's Brain by Dr. Rick Hansen, a seasoned neuropsychologist and meditation teacher. This book is an enlightening guide that explores how one can foster happiness, love, and wisdom through the practical application of mindfulness and an understanding of neurology. Dr. Rick Hansen, affiliated with the Greater Good Science Center at the University of California, Berkeley, combines modern neurological research with ancient contemplative practices to equip readers with tools and skills for mental enhancement and emotional resilience. His insights particularly cater to current and aspiring psychology students who are eager to link meditation with scientific backing, as well as anyone aiming for a stress-free, fulfilling life. Whether you're looking to deepen your understanding of meditation or apply these practices to enhance your day-to-day well-being, Buddha's Brain offers scientifically grounded strategies to transform your mental processes and achieve sustained peace of mind. Hansen's expertise and accessible approach make this book a valuable resource for both theory enthusiasts and practical learners. Don't miss your chance to learn how to unlock your brain's potential and steer toward a more joyful and wise existence. Buddha's Brain, the Practical Neuroscience of Happiness, Love, and Wisdom. Introduction. Harness the power of your mind for a happier life. Imagine having the ability to manage your emotions, steer your thoughts, and cultivate a lasting sense of well-being. This chapter unveils the profound impact of taking charge of your mental processes, and it begins with understanding how you can become a master of your own psychological universe. First and foremost, cultivating a more positive outlook on life elevates your entire being. By learning specific techniques to govern your thoughts and emotions, you transform into someone who not only experiences joy more deeply, but also spreads that joy to others. This creates a ripple effect, influencing your overall quality of life and those around you. But life isn't without its challenges, and pain is inevitable. The key, however, lies in our response to these discomforts. Often, we tend to exacerbate our suffering by overthinking or dwelling on our misfortunes. But what if you could minimize this self-inflicted distress? Through actionable strategies detailed in this chapter, you'll discover how to encounter pain without allowing it to dominate your life or cloud your experiences. Moreover, enhancing your emotional intelligence fosters a greater capacity for compassion. As you develop deeper understanding and empathy towards others, your relationships naturally become more meaningful and trust-filled. This not only enriches your connections, but also reinforces a supportive network, crucial for both personal growth and emotional stability. Thus, this chapter isn't just about coping mechanisms. It's about thriving in every aspect of your life by mastering the subtle art of mind control. By embracing these teachings, you open the doors to becoming not just a happier individual, but a genuine source of positivity and love in the world. Take this knowledge, apply it diligently, and watch as your life transforms from the inside out. Part 1: Exploring the Dynamic Interplay Between the Mind and the Brain. Have you ever wondered what makes you react to situations with joy, sadness, or anxiety? The answer lies in the fascinating interaction between your brain and your mind. But before diving deeper, it's crucial to distinguish these two often confused terms. The brain is a tangible organ, an intricate network of neurons and synapses responsible for every biological process. On the other hand, the mind encompasses our thoughts, desires, and feelings, the intangible phenomena that define our mental state. While the brain deals with the physical, the mind is firmly in the realm of the psychological. Take, for instance, neurotransmitters such as dopamine, which are chemicals in the brain that can make us feel excited or energized. Here's a scenario. Imagine receiving a promotion at work, sparking a surge of dopamine. The resulting feelings of happiness or anxiety depend on your mind's interpretation of this dopamine boost. But the influence of the mind extends even further. It has the power to alter the brain's very structure. This concept is exemplified by Hebb's rule, encapsulated in the phrase, "Neurons that fire together, wire together." Every experience or emotion triggers neurons to interact, gradually molding the brain's physical structure through these interactions. Consider the simple act of laughter among friends. This not only strengthens your social connections, but also forms new neural pathways in the brain, linking the joyous moment to the memory of the experience. Another compelling example is that of London cab drivers, who must memorize an extensive map of the city streets. This intense navigational challenge leads to a measurably larger hippocampus, the brain area vital for memory and navigation, showing that their experiences have a direct impact on their brain structures. This chapter reveals how our thoughts and emotions play a significant role in shaping our brain's architecture, illustrating a powerful, bidirectional relationship. By understanding this link, we gain insights into how we can consciously influence our mental well-being and physiological health through mental processes. Part 2: Unlocking a Fulfilling Life Through the Power of Self-Reflection. Ever felt trapped by your circumstances, believing that unhappiness and discontent are your only options? This common misconception might be holding you back from a more joyful existence. The secret to breaking free lies in self-reflection, a powerful practice that, if embraced, can lead to a significantly enhanced life. Self-reflection involves a deliberate attempt to understand and regulate our mental activities. These include the thoughts, emotions, and desires we encounter daily. By becoming more aware of these mental processes, we can learn to steer them in a direction that promotes well-being and fulfillment. Consider the transformative journey of Siddhartha, known to the world as Buddha. Over 2,000 years ago, he engaged in profound self-reflection, contemplating the roots of his happiness and suffering. His conclusion was startling yet simple. Happiness could be embraced and suffering could be alleviated by focusing on the positive aspects of life. Intriguingly, this isn't just philosophical, it's scientific. The brain adapts to its focus. By fixating on positive experiences, it learns to incorporate them, leading to structural changes that enhance one's overall life quality. Despite some beliefs, self-reflection isn't about self-indulgence. Instead, it's a catalyst for personal evolution. It allows individuals to refine themselves, enhancing their interactions and enriching the lives around them. Imagine the ripple effect on your relationships if you approached life with a more optimistic outlook and reduced stress levels. The improvement in your interactions, especially with close ones like a significant other, can be monumental when grounded in a calmer, more positive mindset. So, how can one embark on this path of self-reflection and personal growth? The journey to becoming a happier, more fulfilled individual is achievable, starting with the commitment to turn inward and critically analyze one's mental habits. By cultivating a practice of regular self-reflection, you not only transform your mind, but potentially your life's entire trajectory. Part 3: Understanding Suffering as an Evolutionary Tool with Modern Implications. It might be surprising to learn that suffering, a condition we universally try to avoid, is actually a product of evolution designed to enhance our survival. Throughout history, suffering has served as a critical indicator, signaling the presence of potential dangers. However, in today's world, the triggers of suffering aren't always as straightforward as they once were. Suffering encompasses a wide range of unpleasant human experiences, from the minor irritations like missing a bus to the profound grief that accompanies the loss of a loved one. It stands as a universal descriptor for all aspects of discomfort and distress we'd rather avoid. Historically, the role of suffering has been straightforward. It's nature's mechanism to ensure our survival by guiding us to avoid harmful situations and gravitate towards beneficial ones. This primal instinct arises from ancient parts of the brain, parts we share with our long-ago ancestors, who needed to make quick decisions about what to avoid and what to seek out. For instance, earlier humans who steered clear of snakes yet approached fruit-bearing trees were more likely to survive and propagate their genes. Interestingly, our brains have evolved with a bias toward cataloging these negative experiences. We store negative memories more readily than positive ones, ensuring that dangerous encounters, like a close call with a snake, are not repeated. This mechanism highlights the brain's primary focus on survival over happiness. In modern contexts, these evolutionary behaviors manifest in more complex ways. We no longer simply avoid physical threats like snakes, but also intangible threats like embarrassment or shame. Conversely, our quests are not limited to tangible rewards like bananas, but extend to abstract gains like self-worth and recognition. However, this evolutionarily ingrained approach avoidance behavior, while still useful, can also be a source of significant unhappiness in our daily lives. Even behaviors geared towards positive outcomes can lead to suffering. For example, the pursuit of desirable but unattainable goals, or the consequences of indulging in something pleasurable, like a lavish dessert, can lead to various forms of suffering. Thus, by recognizing and understanding the evolutionary roots of suffering, we can better manage its presence in our lives today. This knowledge equips us to more skillfully navigate both the physical and abstract landscapes of our modern existence, balancing our evolutionary instincts with our contemporary realities to foster a more satisfying life experience. Part 4. Understanding and mitigating the impact of physical discomfort. Pain and discomfort are inevitable parts of life, yet it's often our response to these discomforts that amplifies our suffering more than the initial incident itself. This understanding is crucial in learning how to manage and reduce the pain we experience. Discomfort occurs on two distinct levels. The first level is immediate and unavoidable, like the sharp pain of touching a hot plate or the emotional sting of a romantic rejection. These are akin to being hit by a first dart. They are direct and often unavoidable consequences of our interactions with the world. However, the more significant portion of our suffering usually arises from what can be termed as second darts. These are the reactions we have to those first darts, our internal responses, including the emotional turmoil and narrative spirals that follow an initial painful event. For example, consider the simple act of stubbing your toe. The physical pain of the impact is the first dart. The second dart, however, might be the frustration and anger that follow, perhaps an irrational irritation at someone for leaving the obstacle in your path. This secondary reaction often causes more prolonged and profound suffering than the toe's initial stubbing. This concept applies not just to physical pain, but also to emotional distress. The activation of the sympathetic nervous system, SNS, in response to pain leads to physiological changes like adrenaline surges and increased heart rate, which can make emotional pain feel as intense as physical hurt. Rejection or anxiety can trigger this system, setting off a chain reaction of stress and further emotional pain. For example, the anxiety about giving a speech could both precede and outlast the actual event, with repercussions that extend far into the future, long after the speech itself is concluded. Understanding this two-tier system of pain, recognizing the distinction between the unavoidable first darts and the self-inflicted second darts, can be incredibly empowering. By managing our reactions to the initial discomforts, we can significantly mitigate our overall suffering. This realization encourages a more resilient approach to both minor annoyances and significant challenges, helping us maintain a calmer and more controlled response to life's inevitable pains. Part 5. Discovering pathways to happiness through transformative thinking. Achieving happiness is more within our control than we might think. By adopting specific mental practices, we can actively influence our brain's functioning, enhance our emotional well-being, and curb detrimental desires. Let's explore three powerful ways of thinking that can lead us to a life enriched with contentment. First up, let's talk about mindfulness. This practice entails a heightened state of awareness and is predominantly cultivated through meditation. When we meditate, especially in activities like yoga, we not only tune into our bodily sensations, but also significantly improve our attentional control. This focused awareness helps in increasing gray matter in brain regions associated with attention. Additionally, mindfulness stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system, PNS, which is instrumental in lowering our heart rate and fostering a sense of calm and relaxation. Through these physiological changes, mindfulness helps elevate our mood and overall sense of well-being. Next, we delve into the power of wholesome intentions. Intentions are essentially a form of desire, but when they're wholesome, they can have a significantly positive impact on the brain. For instance, affirming thoughts such as, "I am strong, it's good to be strong," activate various brain areas, from the limbic system to the prefrontal cortex. This activation releases neurotransmitters that enhance our mood and overall mental state, proving that our thoughts can directly influence our neurological health. The third transformative thought process involves cultivating composure. Composure is essentially an emotional self-regulation technique, acting like a circuit breaker for our cravings and impulses. By maintaining composure, we can break the cycle of dependency that links fleeting pleasures to ongoing cravings. This state of self-control allows us to carefully assess our emotional responses and recognize that our desires do not have to dictate our feelings. For instance, while success can trigger positive emotions, an insatiable craving for continuous success might lead to dissatisfaction or depression. Composure teaches us to appreciate achievements without becoming dependent on them for our happiness. By integrating mindfulness, fostering wholesome intentions, and practicing composure, we equip ourselves with effective tools to navigate our thoughts and emotions. These proactive strategies not only improve our neurological functions, but also pave the way towards a more fulfilling and happier life. Part 6. How meditation nurtures deeper self-awareness and cultivates wisdom. Meditation is often associated with relaxation and stress relief, but its benefits extend far deeper into enhancing self-insight and fostering wisdom. Through the practice of meditation, the focused concentration required not only aids in achieving a state of awareness, but also acts as a catalyst for profound personal insights. Wisdom, characterized by enduring and sound judgment, is cultivated through regular meditation practice. When we meditate, we sharpen our mental focus, effectively cutting through the daily clutter and distractions that cloud our judgment. This intense concentration reveals core aspects of our being and the world around us, illuminating what truly matters. Imagine walking through a dense forest. This represents the state of ignorance where clarity and understanding are obscured. Meditation equips us with a metaphorical sharp knife, allowing us to carve a clear path through this forest, clearing the way for enlightenment and understanding. The insights gained through meditation serve to sharpen this knife further, fueled by the power of focused attention. Additionally, the practice of meditation can lead to what is known as the singleness of mind. In this state, all senses converge, distractions fade away, and we experience a profound immersion in the object of our focus. This unified awareness is not just theoretical, but has been observed in the brain activity of experienced meditators. Research has shown that during deep meditation, there is an increase in high-frequency gamma waves, which are associated with heightened awareness and mental sharpness. Such findings underscore the transformative potential of meditation, not merely as a tool for relaxation, but as a profound enabler of personal insight and wisdom. For those looking to harness these benefits, engaging in focused meditation practices such as yoga can be particularly effective. These practices not only improve physical flexibility and strength, but also deepen mental acuity, guiding practitioners toward a more enlightened, wise, and insightful state of being. Part 7. How meditation fosters a calmer, less ego-driven self. The concept of self, the I that interacts with the world and defines our personal identity, is inherently tied to many of our life's distresses and discomforts. This sense of self is responsible for much of our suffering, particularly when we internalize negative experiences or seek constant approval from others. However, there is profound peace and fulfillment to be discovered when we can detach from this egocentric perspective and engage with the world more selflessly. For instance, happiness tends to increase when we do not hinge our well-being on receiving approval. This idea is encapsulated in the mantra embraced by both Buddhist monks and death row inmates: no self, no problem. While a defined sense of self is useful for maintaining continuity in our day-to-day experiences and distinguishing ourselves from others, it can sometimes grow unwieldy, leading to suffering. This typically occurs when we over-identify with possessions or beliefs. Statements like, "This is my laptop," or "I am this belief," bind our well-being to external objects and ideologies that, by nature, are transient and ultimately bound to change or end. The challenge, then, is not so much in eliminating the sense of self, but in managing and understanding it appropriately. Through meditation, we can learn to modulate our sense of self, discerning when it is beneficial to engage with it and when it is not. Meditation encourages reflection without deep attachment to personal identifiers. For example, rather than thinking, "I am thinking of birds," one might reframe this as, "Thoughts of birds are arising," promoting a separation between the self and its experiences. This detached manner of reflection, practiced regularly through meditation, enables us to navigate life with greater ease and less emotional turmoil connected to our sense of self. It paves the way for a more serene and balanced existence, wherein we are not unduly ruled by our attachments and aversions. By adopting these meditative practices, not only can we reduce our suffering, but we can also enhance our capacity for happiness and wisdom. Part 8. The evolutionary roots of love in the human brain. Have you ever pondered the origins of love? It turns out, the impulse to form deep emotional connections is not just a cultural phenomenon, but a biological imperative. Our capacity to love, encompassing feelings of kinship, altruism, and cooperation, is deeply embedded in our genetic code and prominently reflected in the structure of our brain. During the course of human evolution, our brains have undergone significant changes to support complex social interactions and emotional bonds. Unlike other species, mammals, particularly humans, have considerably larger brains to accommodate the demands of nurturing offspring and managing intricate social relationships. For example, among primates, there is a correlation between the sociability of a species and its brain size. The more social the species, the larger the brain. In humans, the brain has tripled in size over the past 3 million years, with a substantial portion of this growth dedicated to enhancing interpersonal skills and emotional intelligence. Specific neural networks within the brain have evolved to foster feelings commonly associated with love, such as empathy and forgiveness. Additionally, the human brain is equipped with robust neurochemical processes, including the release of oxytocin, which significantly enhances bonding and care within social groups. This evolutionary development underscores that our profound capacity for love has been a crucial element of human survival. Across all cultures, the pervasive presence of romantic love suggests that this trait is a fundamental aspect of our biological makeup. Love not only fosters trust within communities, but also plays a vital role in forming partnerships that facilitate sexual reproduction. Moreover, as our brains became more complex, the duration of human childhoods extended, necessitating prolonged development after birth. This complexity meant that young humans needed more prolonged care, thus fostering stronger parental bonds and investment in offspring. This bonding is essential, as it ensures that parents remain motivated to provide the care necessary for the survival and thriving of the next generation. In understanding these biological foundations, we gain insight into why love is such a powerful force in our lives, shaping how we interact, form communities, and continue to evolve as a species. Part 9. Enhancing compassion and connection through empathy. Empathy isn't just a useful social skill. It's the cornerstone of meaningful and compassionate relationships. If you've ever aimed to deepen your bonds with others or become more compassionate, understanding the role of empathy is essential. Empathy allows us to perceive and connect with others' emotions deeply, providing a pathway to genuine compassion. When we truly empathize, we can understand someone else's perspective from the inside out. For instance, recognizing and relating to your friend's inner feelings can make you more supportive and compassionate in your interactions. However, the absence of empathy can lead to detrimental outcomes. Children raised by caregivers lacking in empathy often face challenges in securing stable and secure relationships as adults. They may struggle with feeling connected and can perpetuate negative cycles, such as becoming detached or even neglectful parents themselves. This lack of empathy not only affects familial relationships, but can also extend into broader social interactions, where a person may develop prejudices or exhibit exploitative behaviors. Empathy does more than foster compassion. It also paves the way for more successful interpersonal relationships. In situations of conflict, empathy can act as a soothing balm. For example, if a friend expresses criticism, an empathetic response involves striving to understand and address their concerns, which often leads to resolution and a strengthening of the relationship rather than escalation. Furthermore, empathy can help dismantle barriers to closeness that often stem from past hurts. Psychological pain frequently originates in childhood or within close relationships, where emotional responses are less regulated by the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain responsible for decision-making. During our early years, we might experience betrayal or deceit, leading to a lasting wariness in relationships. As adults, though not as easily deceived, we may carry forward a protective hesitance. By consistently applying empathy in our adult interactions, we can chip away at this ingrained caution and open ourselves up to deeper, more trusting relationships. Empathy, therefore, is not just about understanding others, it's about healing and enriching our own emotional lives, allowing us to reconnect with the world in a more meaningful and compassionate way. Final summary. This insightful book reveals a profound truth. Changing our mental habits can significantly alter our lives for the better. It emphasizes that the brain is not a static organ. Rather, it evolves in conjunction with our mental activities. By delving into and applying the principles of meditative practices, we can catalyze positive transformations in our brain structure. This process not only empowers us to attain deeper levels of happiness and love, but also enhances our ability to access wisdom. Through understanding the dynamic interplay between our mind and brain, and actively shaping our mental habits, we can forge a path toward a more fulfilled and enlightened existence. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.